Hey, man, is that the Rock News Weekly podcast?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news, this week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Now on to this week's episode. This week on the Rock News Weekly podcast, week of April 22nd, 2024, season 6, episode number 16. This week, we talk about Live Nation facing a new lawsuit from the Department of Justice regarding their controversial ticketing practices with venues. Our recent Viva Las Vegas Rockabilly Car Show and Concert Weekend recap, and the inductees of the 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame were announced on American Idol. We'll go over the full list and more. Plus, this week in rock and roll history trivia, weekly WTF, and so much more. Everything's up at rocknewsweekly.com. Watch us live every Sunday, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly, and on demand, youtube.com/rocknewsweekly. All right, we are live, and we are back from Viva Las Vegas, a car show.
Rockabilly Weekender.
Rockabilly Weekend. Chris here, and Dahlia.
What's up?
Dahlia, how was the weekend?
I thought it was awesome.
What was your favorite part?
Oh, geez. Favorite part was the chilling on the daybed yesterday by the pool, followed by Lee Rocker.
We had the Hula Girls Rockabilly Band doing the pool party.
Yep.
And a vintage swimsuit contest. We saw a burlesque show.
Oh, yeah. Chris's first burlesque show. He can check
cool.
that off the list.
The car show was great. The weather wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't.
It could have been a lot hotter than it was, and it wasn't too bad.
Best part for you?
I don't know. I mean, Lee Rocker was pretty awesome. I would say that's definitely a highlight.
I thought you were going to say the $1.50 McDonald's ice cream cone
at
11 o'clock at night.
In general, yeah. So, like, with the whole Vegas thing, man, it's just wild how much money, you know, every little thing costs in Vegas. I'm sure you guys all know that. But they just nickel and dime you. A bottle of water is $8, you know, that kind of a thing. So one of the best deals was we were staying at the Palms in Vegas, and the little McDonald's they had in there had bottles of water for $2.50.
Yep.
And the ice cream cone was $1.50. And it was a good size little soft serve ice cream cone. And to get that in Vegas for that price, that was a highlight every night. I was like, man, I can't believe that.
Also, so. Best part, $5 minimum roulette table.
Yeah, so the
awesome.
Orleans,
yeah.
And the, what was the other one? The Gold Coast.
The Gold Coast, but the Gold Coast vibe is like, wah,
yeah.
Wah.
The Orleans was cooler, a lot cooler.
It's because
nicer.
A lot more people were there to bring the energy.
Yeah, definitely. We had a great time. Let me show you guys some pictures on the little slideshow here. These aren't pictures from this year's event, but just kind of like give you an idea of what it's like. Here's the logo and the graphic from this year's event. They had a poster for this. It was pretty slick for 2024. And then here's a picture of kind of the scene out there.
Oh, yeah. She did a much better picture than I did on the car.
Well, she's got a professional
she's a model.
Setup. She's a they do this for a living.
Yeah.
We got some good shots though. Dahlia looked fabulous,
okay,
I gotta say.
Okay. Go on.
She had her little hair, the flower in her hair and her parasol. I got her parasol and
yep.
It was great.
Ooh, yes, that's another best part is my
$5 parasol.
Parasol.
Yeah, that was pretty
Three
cool.
Three compliments within 15 minutes.
Oh yeah. Everybody loved that. And then, yeah, here's a poster of the artists out there. It was Chuck Mead, the Spunny Boys, Linda Gail Lewis, and then Lee Rocker was the headliner, and that was great. He's such a fantastic stand-up bass player, playing that old-school style of stand-up bass.
And it felt so good out there. It wasn't, like, hot at the car in the morning. We got there at 10 a.m.
There was shade, too. I was surprised. Like, where the stage was, there was shade.
Yeah, we got there at 10 a.m., and it was hot.
It's on pavement. You know, it's on pavement, so if you guys are unfamiliar, I'll scroll back up to this kind of... Well, actually, there's another great shot right here.
Charlie, what was your favorite part?
So this is kind of like the vendor area and a little bit of the car show area. So they kind of have it combined where it's the car show, vendor area. It's all outdoors. But then they have a nice indoor section up on the second floor of the Orleans that has like the merch, the vinyl records.
Yeah, That one guy at the one of the merch with the, all the jackets and like the expensive stuff.
There was this guy that had these old school racing club jackets, like stuff
legit
from Palo Alto, from San Diego, all over, just like, you know, the Rattlers from San Diego or something, you know, the Turtles from Palo Alto. And there were these old peacoat 1950s, 1960s style jackets that had their car club on it, on the back, with old patches and old lettering. And man, I wanted one so bad, but they, once I saw the price on some of them, they started at like $850, $550, $650.
Yeah, $850, not $8.50.
No, like 12. I saw one that was really nice and it had old school stitching and everything. He wanted $1,250 for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they are beautiful relics, like truly one of a kind Americana,
mm-hmm,
that won't be replicated ever again. And he was telling us a story about how apparently he goes to like estate sales and different things, and he's met these people that are like millionaires down in San Diego or these areas in LA, and they got nobody to leave their stuff to. The kids, for whatever reason, don't want it, or maybe they have problems or whatever the situation. And this guy, he said he had like a 15 car garage, and he's just giving them these boxes of these jackets and shirts, and you know, he's got no one to give it to. I'm like, man, good for you, dude. You know, coming up on
nicest
that.
Nicest guy.
And a really nice guy.
Man.
Yeah.
So that's another thing about, like, the Rockabilly Weekender. Everyone is so nice and polite.
Yes.
It's refreshing.
I will say, too, that the crowd is one of those crowds that, like, everybody's there for the same reason.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of mutual respect and things going on there where, you know, it's like they all, it's a big community.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of other, like when I go to reggae festivals or when I go to any type of,
exactly,
where it's a community that follows this around. They're all like super respectful. And even to us, the outsiders that were kind of like playing the part, you know, they were still just very respectful and cool. So I definitely recommend Viva Las Vegas as a bucket
venue.
List thing. You got to check it out one time in your life, especially if you're a car guy or
a
girl.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you like this pinup stuff, you know, the 1950s, 60s aesthetic. It's like pre-64 is what they were saying, what
mm-hmm
qualifies as vintage.
Yeah.
Some of the things that they were
doing.
If
we go again, maybe we'll enter the couple swimsuit.
I don't know. I'd have to get a pretty awesome cabana suit, I guess, which is the 1950s, like, men's matching things, because they had the guy who won had, like, it was a 1950s.
No, they didn't win. The girls' couple
He was
won.
Second place.
Oh,
whatever.
Second place,
He
yeah.
got second place. And they were, like, little seahorses on this old vintage shirt with the seahorse swim trunks matching.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty awesome. So, anyway, Viva Las Vegas was great. Those are some of our photos there. We had a great time. As you can see, our dog Charlie is very happy that we're home.
He's been holding down the fort.
We just got back, so he had to join us for the podcast because he wanted to sit in, and he's a big fan. So we miss Charlie, and it was a great trip, though.
Yes.
We had a good time. American Idol, everything got announced, so we're going to get to that in a minute, guys. But real quick, we got just quick tour news. Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, he announced some solo dates, so I wanted to throw these up there. Paris, Munich, Milan, Stockholm, London, 15 cities in 11 different countries. Pretty awesome little tour that he's doing. Check out all those dates. There they are on your screen. September 30th, kicking it off in Dublin, and it looks like he wraps it up around October 22nd in Sweden. Goes through Germany, Poland. If you guys are in those places, definitely check him out. You know, he's got a pretty awesome life story. He's sober now, and he's you know, been going through his kind of personal stuff, and that's the theme of his album. It's called Lighthouse. So the idea is, like, he's like a beacon of light, of hope, of kind of, like, you know, that's the attitude he has now. So it's pretty cool. He's a positive guy, really good dude. So shout out to Duff McKagan. He's the coolest one in Guns N' Roses, in my opinion. He's the punk dude there. All right. Rock news this week. Did you hear about this? Live Nation facing a new lawsuit from the Department of Justice.
I did not.
Yeah, this is getting serious. It's actually kind of following up to what happened in the past. So, according to this new Wall Street Journal report, Live Nation supposedly going to be facing this new lawsuit from the Department of Justice. What does it actually mean in terms of concert ticketing, all that?
What are they alleging? Well, Department of Justice's lawsuit against Live Nation, which is an antitrust lawsuit, would argue that the ticketing giant has leveraged their dominance in such a manner that it's actually undermined competition for ticketing live events.
Wow.
So check this out. This is they have some interesting little tidbits here about the merger. So there was this Live Nation and Ticketmaster merger. If you remember, it was in 2010. It was almost 15 years ago. Hard to believe it's been that way. But ticket prices have just been astronomical since then. There's no other way of putting it. For us as consumers, it's been really shitty because there's no end in sight. That's when they started doing the premium ticket bullshit where they would verify resell. Like, people could sell their tickets that they just bought on Ticketmaster for double, triple the value on Ticketmaster's website, and then Ticketmaster gets a cut of that again. So they're double dipping on these things, and everyone loses except for Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
It's horrible. So that's just my little rant on that. But at the time of the merger, the DOJ's antitrust division, this Christine Varney, noted a consent decree that they had a limited role in an antitrust enforcement, but still voiced their concern. So it wasn't, they brought it up, but it never basically kind of went to anything. So fast forward 14 years later, here we are. This is another tip of the hat to Taylor Swift for just being like a magnet for change in the music industry. Not only is she like so punk rock that she's re-recording all of her own songs because she said F you to her label and said, I'm going to re-record all my stuff. She is taking control of her ticketing stuff. There was a huge ticketing debacle. I don't know if you remember in 2022. It says it right here. Ticketmaster actually crashed. The whole website went down. And this was during Taylor Swift's Eras Tour fan presale. The Department of Justice had already been looking into Ticketmaster at the time and the parent company's Live Nation practices, but a congressional antitrust hearing was set in motion after the Swift ticketing debacle.
Wow.
So it took her team and her to, like, get pissed at Live Nation. Like, you guys fucked my on sale up here, one of the biggest tours ever. And now the Department of Justice is paying attention again.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward a year later. What's Live Nation's argument? Dan Wall, head of corporate affairs, last month published an essay on the company's website where he downplayed the idea of the company being a monopoly. So he was trying to get ahead of this. He knew. He saw the writing on the wall. He's trying to downplay them being a monopoly. In it, he argued that Ticketmaster doesn't set prices, BS, but rather the artists and their teams are responsible for what's charged, which is, it seems to me, is a total lie. It was also noted factors such as high demand, low supply, venue fees. Yeah, sure, we all get that. But here's the meat and potatoes of this whole thing. The company reportedly holds, this is Live Nation, more than 80% of the market for primary ticket sales from the biggest venues in the United States.
Wow.
80%. That's an overwhelming majority, right? And he says, this is the guy from Live Nation trying to defend this. He says, if you have to hone in on one slice of the market in order to allege a monopoly, then there isn't one. So I'm not sure what is... That doesn't seem like a solid defense, I gotta be honest. But what does this all mean? It's believed that this new lawsuit could lead to a new settlement agreement, which could benefit us as ticket buyers. Mm-hmm. If we have Live Nation accounts, it could be like what happened to Ticketmaster. Remember when Ticketmaster gave us like free tickets and gave us a little bit of money back for all the service fees and different things like that, right? They're going to see if they can get this new lawsuit in 2020. That 10-year consent decree in 2010 was extended 5 additional years after these enforcers found that Live Nation had violated a portion of the initial pact by bullying venues into using Ticketmaster.
Wow.
So they were basically like trying to be like the mafia, you know, like
monopolizing the market.
Pretty bad. So now this latest extension wrapping up in 2025, the suit is reportedly close to being filed and a new settlement can address some of this stuff. So,
wow,
pretty crazy stuff. That's a big deal, guys. For if you go to see live concerts, this is the main thing. You see it right there. 80% of the market of the entire United States. So we'll see what happens. I'll keep you guys updated. But we wanted to get into this. So there was the nominees that were just finalized into the inductees. So this is kind of like the bigger picture here with people that actually didn't get finalized. But I have the list right here. I just went to the article literally 10 minutes ago after it aired on American Idol just now. And I have them for you right here. The 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees were just announced on American Idol. They had a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame themed episode where they've played songs from these artists. So we have Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool & the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne as a solo artist, and A Tribe Called Quest. This year's fan vote winner got up to 4 million. Who was the winner? Dave Matthews Band.
I thought that, yeah.
Dave Matthews Band led it all at the time of closing, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday last week. That's when they closed the fan vote. Dave Matthews were in number one with 586,000 votes. Frampton at number two, 528,000. Foreigner, 527,000. Ozzy, 480,000. And it goes on and on.
Yeah.
But Dave Matthews Band won the fan vote. They actually won the fan vote last year, and they still didn't get inducted.
Wow.
It was kind of a F you to them.
Yeah.
All their fans like showed up, voted for them.
Yeah.
They were
like, come on.
Yeah. So I think, you know, this year they were like, okay, we got to get them in there. Well deserved for them, you know, whether you like them or not. They've been around for a long time. So real quick on this list, on the surface of it, what do you think? What do you think? Do you think this is a pretty solid list? Do you think there's anybody who doesn't belong on here? What do you think?
Well, I think I've given my opinions before on like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and what that means. So
yes, let's say that.
Cancel off A Tribe Called Quest. I would cancel off Mary J. Blige. But overall, it's fine.
I think those are the only two that are kind of the outlying, obviously, hip-hop, R&B.
Yeah.
Not a lot of rock going on there.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that we've talked about in the past with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where it should just be basically the Popular Music Hall of Fame, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it would be much more encompassing and we wouldn't have to be so critical with these nominees. But I got to say, it's a pretty solid list from years in the past.
It's great.
You know, it's been worse. So, Foreigner, well-deserved. Well overdue. I mean, why wouldn't a band like Foreigner or Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah.
Peter Frampton, for God's sakes, had the biggest selling live album of all time with that Frampton Comes Alive double album. How is that guy not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame sooner than 50-something years after that album came out in the early 70s or whatever? It just blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That panel is tone deaf. Those people that are running it are dinosaurs, and I cannot wait for like a generational change and sea change to get those people out of there. I feel like they're like the Supreme Court of rock and roll.
Well, they have their own board, I'm sure.
Get the hell out of there and loosen up and stop doing whatever this is with some of these, you know, inductees, or change the panel altogether, or have two different ones. Have popular music and rock and roll. Have hip hop, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We say this every year, but there it is for you guys. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, minus our opinions. Pretty solid, though. All right, we got some birthdays to get to, so let's get to it.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
All right, we got some birthdays. Dahlia, take it away.
All right, Patrick Carney of the Black Keys, birthday this week.
I have the date, just so you know, I have the date he was born. It's from April 15th to the 21st, and I have the date on the left. So he was born on the 15th.
All right, Chris Stapleton got a birthday this week. Happy birthday, born in 1978. Ed O'Brien of Radiohead, born in 1968. Happy birthday. Linda Perry, look at her, still looking fly, from 4'9 Blondes, 1965. She
and
was born. Happy birthday.
Real high.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Liz Phair.
You did it much better than do that one again.
No, yeah, that's it. That was all you get.
All right. Dolly's got to get the door. I'll finish up here. Liz Phair, 1967. We're getting a grocery delivery right now because we just got back into town from Vegas from doing the Viva Las Vegas thing. So we're just trying to get everything together. I wanted to get this out there for you guys because, you know, I like to be consistent. And I thought it was a big deal that they announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and nominees. So I want to make sure I got this episode out. Anyway, Maynard James Keenan, 1964. He just celebrated his 60th birthday in style. He had that huge show with Primus and Pussifer. And A Perfect Circle, all on stage at the same time. They had it at the Greek Theater in Berkeley. I heard it was awesome. I wish I could have been there for that. Les Pattinson, Echo and the Bunnymen, born on April 18th, 1958. Robert Smith of The Cure, 1959, April 21st. Iggy Pop, the legendary Iggy Pop, born on April 21st, 1947. He's still kicking ass, man. All right, rock and roll history. I gotta wait until Dolly gets back for that. I have a funny Iggy Pop story.
Okay.
You guys want to hear it? When I got media one time for an event, it was called C2SV in San Jose. And it was 2013, I think. Wow, 11 years ago. And we got photo pit passes, which was pretty rare for me. Like, normally in radio, we don't get photo pit passes. And so I was pretty stoked to have photo pit passes, especially to be able to see Iggy Pop. I'm telling the Iggy Pop story from C2SV where he spit all over us in the
The press area. That was like the only like outdoor.
Yeah, so C2SV, like, it had a bunch of indoor small coffee house type of performances, but the main outdoor stage was Iggy Pop, and we had press passes for the photo pit, and we go in there with all these other professional photographers, and we didn't even have a camera. I remember just using my phone. And Iggy Pop, he's like flipping everybody off, at, you know, for the photos and shit. And he was spitting all over everybody. He was just like fucking hawking loogies and spitting. And I was like, damn, man, he really is just like totally crazy. And this, you know, he was just balls to the wall, man.
They should make a Halloween costume where it's just like a long sleeve shirt that looks like a leather skin.
Looks like Iggy Pop's skin. That'd be hilarious.
Be like,
that'd
I'm
be
Iggy
really
Pop.
Good. All right, we got some trivia, so let's do the trivia real quick. We're going to finish up here.
This week
in rock and roll history.
Trivia?
Yes, this week in rock and roll history trivia. All right, Dahlia. 1996.
96, okay.
96, okay. Think back almost, 30 years ago.
This band. That makes me feel old.
I know. This band officially announces their reunion tour with all four original members at an official press conference.
Okay.
Who was it in 96? Was it Black Sabbath, Kiss, the Eagles, or was it choice number D, Cocaine Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young?
I think I'm going to go with the Eagles.
I feel like
they had like a... Oh, man, they had like a Greatest Hits album.
Well, it was the Hell Freezes Over tour in the 90s. They did get back together.
Yes.
Black Sabbath got back together around that time, but it was actually Kiss. On this day.
I always lose this week.
I forget. What did I say on the day of? It was April 18th through the 21st. I can't remember what day it was, but it was this year.
Was this the first of their 50 reunion tours?
Right. Yes. This is the first of them. This is where they actually had Ace and Peter in it. And this lasted, I think, up until 1999, if I'm not mistaken. They did a pay-per-view event, and then that was the end of it. But yeah, it was this week in April of 96, Kiss officially announced the reunion tour. And they did it on this goofy press conference on the USS Intrepid in New York City, which was the stationed battleship. It was like a war battleship. So they held the press conference on the battleship. It's Kiss. All right, anyway, so that was the trivia. New rock and metal albums out this week. Dahlia, run down the list. What do we got?
All right, Billy Morrison, The Morrison Project. Cloud Nothing's Final Summer. Have you heard that one?
I haven't. I wanted to show...
The vinyl looks cool.
Yeah, the vinyl looks cool, and I wanted to give a shout-out to Cloud Nothing's. We love them. They're from Ohio.
Saw them at Coachella many moons ago.
Yep, in 2014, and they're still just really consistent. Great band, so definitely check them out if you haven't heard them. Give them a shot.
Couch Slut, You Could Do It Tonight. Dayseeker with Replica. The Ghost Inside, Searching for Solace. High on Fire, Cometh the Storm. Lightworker, How the Beautiful Decay. The Melvins, Tarantula Heart. No Effects.
Oops, sorry.
Half album.
Yep.
Pearl Jam, Dark Matter. Everyone is aware of that.
Yep. Those are the new albums this week, so check that out.
Looks like All Cool Vinyl.
Yeah.
I didn't even know No Effects had a new... Is it...
Yeah. It's a new release. They did one called Double Album last year.
Is it a new song?
It's new music,
Probably just meh, but anyway.
Yeah, they're not bad. And shout out to my Fat Mike. He does the punk rock museum. He's mm-hmm. the one who owns that and gave us media.
Yeah, we saw that
stuff.
Last year. We went and checked that out last year.
When we went to Vegas.
All right. Yep. Movie, TV, entertainment, gaming news.
Check
Keanu
this
Reeves
out.
Will voice a character, Shadow, in Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Keanu Reeves is going to be in Sonic the Hedgehog.
That is weird.
And it's Jim Carrey's returning as Dr. Robotnik and Ben Schwartz as Sonic. The first two films were like unexpected blockbuster hits. They made $725 million at the box office.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is.
That's funny that Keanu Reeves will be Shadow. Can't wait to see that. It's funny. All right, news from around the world. You hear this? This is pretty awesome and historic. NASA has chosen the four crew members for its next Mars mission simulation at the Johnson Space Center. Here's a picture of the guys. These are going to be ones. And two ladies and two guys. Jason Lee, Stephanie Navarro, Sharif Al-Romaithi, and Payumi Wijesekara will step into the agency's Human Exploration Research Analog on Friday, May 10th. Once inside, get this, they're going to live and work like astronauts for 45 days. I almost want to see this as like a show or something. I was thinking about
like
it.
Like a reality
show?
Like, I want to see it.
But it's like not bullshit reality. Like, it would be like real reality with like real science and seeing what they're doing.
There's probably a cam.
Man.
Like a cam you can watch on NASA.
Maybe. I would love to see that. So anyway.
There's just like no like sound.
Yeah. So they're going to basically do a whole fake mission to Mars. And it's going to be a simulation to kind of see what will happen if people tried to do that, like on a manned mission. And on June 24th, they return to Earth. They'll sharing all the results. They're going to study how crew members adapt to isolation, confinement, remote conditions before they actually send them out on these deep missions to the moon, Mars, and beyond.
Wow.
Pretty crazy, huh? They're going to do a walk on Mars's surface using virtual reality.
Getting lucky. They're getting this practice. They didn't get this before. Well, maybe some sort of, but not like this.
They will also experience increasing communication delays lasting up to 5 minutes each way with Mission Control Center as they near Mars. Mm. That's fascinating. So, pretty neat. Other two missions are going to happen later this year, too. They're going to do a bunch more. So, I just thought that was really cool that
is.
We're practicing for something like that. Pretty neat. So, okay. This is the last story of the week, and it ties into our airline experience, strangely enough, because we had a dog on the plane on our way home. Well, on the way up, the dog didn't notice it. It was totally silent. But on the way back, this poor puppy that was on our plane, I don't know if it was a puppy or not. It sounded like a Charlie-sized dog.
It sounded like a Chihuahua.
But that dog was so sad and crying.
Upset.
So, look, check this out.
He didn't
Bark
like it.
Air. Claims to offer a more fun and humane option for dogs traveling with their, parents and owners.
That dog has a better seat than we did on our flight.
Look at these. Look at how they're all just like.
It's like a private jet.
Yeah, it's a private jet. It is a private jet, but they're calling it Bark Air, and it's like they're having their own thing, and it's specifically for dogs. You know what I like about it? No kids. No kids allowed on the flights.
Although all the kids that were on our flights,
they were well behaved.
I didn't hear any babies crying at all.
I didn't, but still.
Well,
I love the idea.
You had your headphones on. But
I love the idea. So anyway.
I love it.
All right, that's it for us. Oh, yeah. One last thing. This is funny. Did you see this?
No.
Okay, this is so funny. Ryan Reynolds celebrates Rob McElhenney's birthday with this hilarious Titanic-inspired prank. So we gotta watch the video, okay? I'm going to share it on the screen, guys.
All right.
Check it out. Dahlia hasn't seen this,
and
you haven't either, so this is going to be perfect for you guys to watch together. Okay, let me share this on our screen. 1 second. Everybody, you're listening on the podcast, tune into our YouTube channel, youtube.com/RockNewsWeekly, and you guys can check it out and watch the video that I'm going to play for you right now.
Some of you may know today is April 14th. the birthday of my beloved co-chairman, Mr. Rob McElhenney. It also happens to be the day the Titanic went down.
So, for his big day this year, I financed an expedition to the ocean floor to retrieve a few bottles of Wrexham Lager, which was actually on that maiden voyage, to use in an epic birthday toast. We searched and searched, and while unfortunately we didn't find any drinkable Wrexham Lager, what we did find was even more beautiful.
It's like the photo from Titanic, the artwork.
So join me celebrating the heart of our Wrexham AFC family by sending Rob all the birthday love we can. But please, don't embarrass him by going to Vistaprint.com/Wrexham to purchase, gift, and share items customized
like
in all of Rob's splendor and soft, delicate chest hair. And don't put it all over social media. Nor should you visit the Teapot
they
Gallery in Wrexham, where this picture will actually hang among genuine works of art. No, just do as I am, and simply wish Rob a happy birthday.
He got it up in a real gallery.
Oh my
in
League God. One.
Isn't
trend.
That great? So it goes. Apparently, these guys have been pranking each other like back and forth, and it's like a thing where they prank each other. And so this is like one, like a very ultimate level prank.
Well, that's good.
He staged this whole fake expedition where he like put this, and it was a real expedition. Like he paid money to have somebody go down to the Titanic site. And Rob thought it was like he was going to get the champagne or whatever. And then he pulls this up like he discovered it out of the wreckage. I just thought
it's even torn on the
edge. Yeah, it's so good. It's so hilarious. And so McElhenney's birthday was on April 14th. And it's the same day, the 112th anniversary, the Titanic sank. So,
God.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
Good. That's good stuff.
Well done, guys. Well done, Ryan Bravo. Reynolds. All right. That's it for us this week, guys. We're out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, rocknewsweekly.com. All socials at Rock News Weekly. Our YouTube channel at Rock News Weekly. Same thing with our Twitch. Watch us every Sunday. We try and go live whenever we can, even after vacation like this week. We'll see you guys next time. All right. Peace. Have a good one.
Bye.